Our second reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. I invite you to listen for the word of God. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning to each of you. May God's grace and peace be upon you. How are you doing today? Would you be ready if you knew that Jesus was coming? I suspect a few of us might say, I'm ready for the Lord's arrival. Some of us might feel we're almost ready, and some of us might feel we're not ready at all. There is much to do, people to see, places to go, more life left to live. As the song says, Lord, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go tonight. Our interpretation or expectation of heaven can be anchored in our experiences in this life here on earth. We can imagine, but we cannot know the beauty, the splendor, and the love that God has waiting for us. Faith is all we have to go by. Now, our Old Testament reading is a favorite of mine in which God reveals to Abram his promise, a promise not just of a child, but descendants that are as numerous as the stars above. At his and Sarah's old age, this promise seemed impossible, but with God's help, they bore a son named Isaac. God had something in store for Abram that was greater than even he could imagine. In the text, it says, and he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. I would say Abram had faith. Now, in our reading from Luke, we have an interesting and a prickly message from Jesus. The language used in it is uncomfortable. From warnings of thieves that would steal our money and moths that would destroy our possessions, and talk of slaves working in the night, and finally, comparing the Son of Man with a thief in the night, it just doesn't sit well. It puts a somber tone to the parable. But come along with me. Be patient. There is a wonderful message if we can get past the first impressions. Like an undiscovered gem in the rough, first glances hardly show the beauty within. Now, we are called to put fear aside and be reminded that God wants us to join him. We do not earn our way to heaven. He has already given us that with Christ's death and resurrection. We serve God in gratitude for the gift that we have been offered. And how do we do that? Rather than worship money and possessions, we are called to share what we have with others and to make purses that do not wear out. We should turn our hearts towards a different treasure, that which is holy. We should turn our hearts towards God. For when we do that, no thief can take a lifetime of faithfulness from us. Now, if we compare a woolen coat to our new clothing, the armor of God that we carefully put on each day through prayer and worship, we can see that the two are different. A moth can eat through any woolen coat while it sits idly waiting for winter to return. But no moth can eat holes in the armor of God. If we clothe our souls with the garments of honor and purity and goodness, nothing on earth can injure us. If we seek the treasures of heaven, our hearts will be fixed on heaven. But if we seek the treasures of the earth, our hearts will be bound to the earth. And someday we must say goodbye to those things that were so precious to us. For as the Spanish proverb says, there are no pockets in a shroud. If we turn our ambitions away from worldly treasures and towards heavenly treasures, we will find that our heart is there also. For what do we desire more than anything in life than to be loved? From the moment we are born into a mother's embrace to the moment we die, we yearn to be loved. And we are. We are all loved by God. As Brian told me once, always find a moment to say, Jesus loves you. And he was right. We might feel loved by the admiration of others at the pretty new things we buy, but it's not the same as the love that God provides us for our lifetimes and beyond. So set your hearts and minds towards God and be content in fortifying your faith. There was a theologian from Scotland named William Barclay, and in his commentary on this passage, he wrote this. There is a story of a conversation between an ambitious youth and an older man who knew life. Said the young man, I will learn my trade. And then, said the older man, I will set up a business. And then, I will make a fortune. And then, I suppose that I shall grow old and retire and live on my money. And then, well, I suppose that someday I will die. And then came the last stabbing question. Those who never remember that there is another world are destined someday for the grimmest of all grim shocks. So I pray that we all remember there is eternal life for each of us who believe. We can spend this life preparing for that, donning the armor of God each morning we rise, preparing that day that God blesses us with eternal life. So how do we do that? Well, the text suggests that we should keep our lamps burning and be ready when the Master comes. We can't sit idly and plan to prepare another day. We don't know when the Lord will come for us, so we must always be ready. And we do the best that we can to do that, and we trust that God will do the rest. Maybe we think that we have plenty of time to put things right before the Master comes, but there is nothing as fatal as thinking that we have plenty of time. Jesus said, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. There is praise for the servant who is ready. The lamps that were used at this time had a cotton wick that had to be kept trimmed, and the lamp replenished, or the light would go out. No one can tell the day or the hour that eternity will invade time and summon us to come. How would we like God to find us? I pray that we might always keep our lamps trimmed and filled before night comes. I pray that we may always do what we need to do each day to live into God's will. Say our prayers, care for others, and be generous with what we have. I think we would all like him to find us with our work completed. Life for so many of us is filled with loose ends. There are things undone, and there are things half done, things put off, and things not even yet attempted. Great men and women always have the sense of a task that must be finished. Jesus said, I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me here to do. No one should ever leave lightly undone a task that ought to have been finished before night falls. And we would like God to find us at peace with one another. It would be a haunting thing to pass from this world in bitterness towards a neighbor. From Ephesians, we're told that we should never let the sun go down on our anger, least of all the last son of all, and we never know which son that will be. And we should like God to find us at peace with him. It will make all the difference to the last whether we feel we're going out to a stranger or an enemy, or if we are going to fall asleep in the arms of God. If we find ourselves ready when the Master returns for us, he will ask us to sit at the table and eat with him. He will reward the faithful who wait on him. Again, remember that the Lord does not wish us to be anxious or afraid when we are awaiting his arrival. There is only joy in a time of excitement and wonder. How glorious a time it will be if we prepare for his arrival today and tomorrow and all the rest of our days, we can rest in peace, knowing that we are prepared and ready, that we have done the work that we could. Do all that you can and be content in your hard work. The Lord sees all that we do, and that is pleasing in his sight. When we have done that, what left is there to fear? Nothing in this life can harm us because we have been saved. We are God's hands and feet to do his work until he returns, and when he does, we will be reunited with him and all the saints who have gone before us. Remember, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. He will rejoice just as we will rejoice when we are reunited. He is calling us to the great banquet. There is a seat for each of us there, and in eternal life awaiting full of love. I urge each of you to live your lives to the fullest. Be unafraid to proclaim God's love to all those who you meet. Rest content in God's love for you and be faithful that he will carry you through this life's trials. He will protect you, nurture you, and comfort you. And when we remember these things, and when we live a life of faith, our souls can be lifted up when our feet might falter. When we find circumstances uncomfortable to sit in, and we find situations too difficult to overcome, call out to the Lord. Watch for his hand, and let your eyes be open to the miracles that he can perform in your life and in the lives around you. So do all that you can for the Lord, and keep your eyes and your ears and your heart open to recognize his work. It has always been there. It's here today, and it will be here tomorrow. Things we cannot fix on our own can be fixed by God. We simply must have faith. Remember the faith that Abram had, and remember how he proved the impossible was possible. You too can have the same faith. Remember the gift that Jesus gave us, and always be grateful. So as we await the arrival of the Son of Man, I pray that we are all ready. I pray that we spend our days strengthening our faith, our connection to God. I pray that we have the strength and the bravery to seek out God's will, and when we are called, I pray that we can respond accordingly. We each have our own unique call into God's work. May we use the gifts that he has given us to do all that we can. May God bless you and keep you in his loving embrace today, tomorrow, and the next. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.